standing in the rain with his head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Jukebox, Centennial College's all-request radio station. I am your host, Zach Murillo. Today, this week, we are going to have a dedicated week, a themed week, because of lack of requests, as usual. Oh, well. So this week, this week, we are going to have a U2-dedicated episode. Yes, U2 the band, as in Bono. These guys, they're pretty awesome band. They've been playing since the 70s, the 80s. They are awesome. I love a lot of their songs. It occurred to me that today is the anniversary of the release of one of their biggest albums ever, The Joshua Tree. So today, a lot of the music I'm going to be playing for you is by U2, and most of them are going to be songs from The Joshua Tree album, the original one that has been remastered. I'm also going to be giving you a little bit of history behind the band and the Joshua Tree album in dedication to this awesome band. Okay, so to start off, I'm going to start you off with the song I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2. Here you go, guys.
I have climbed
What an amazingly heartfelt song by U2. That was With or Without You. But before that, that was I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, both from the Joshua Tree album. So, as I said before, this is a U2-themed episode of The Jukebox. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history now that I've looked up for the past couple of days. So, a little bit of a background on U2 and their album back before this was released. Before The Joshua Tree, U2 had released 4 studio albums and were an internationally successful band, particularly as a live act, having toured every year in the 1980s. The group's stature and the public's anticipation for a new album grew following their 1984 record, The Unforgettable Fire, and their participation in the Live Aid in 1985. U2 began writing new material in the mid-1985 years, following the Unforgettable Fire tour. And just prior to the release of The Joshua Tree, Bono was stricken with a sudden panic that the completed album was not good enough. He contemplated calling the production plants in order to halt the record's pressing, but he ultimately held off. Island Records, the record studio that U2 had been with for many years, spent over $100,000 on store displays advertising alone for the album. $100,000 just for advertising, for displays for the different stores all across America and the UK. President Lou Maglia called it the most complete merchandising effort ever assembled. The Joshua Tree was released on March 9th, today, back in 1987, the first new release to be made immediately available on the compact disc, vinyl record, and cassette tape formats, all on the same date. I'm not sure if that's a world record, but that's pretty impressive. Record stores in Britain and Ireland opened at midnight to accommodate the large amounts of fans who had queried outside to buy the album. The Joshua Tree became, at the time, the fastest-selling album in British history, selling over 300,000 copies in just 2 days. By March 21st, 1987, it debuted on the UK Albums Chart at number 1, spending 2 weeks at the top position, and it remained on the chart for over 160 weeks. That's amazing. Top one of their best albums later. Okay, so I'll continue with some more history on that later. First up, we have Bullet the Blue Sky by U2. Hope you guys enjoy.
Thank you. city street. We take the staircase to the first floor. We turn the key and slowly unlock the door. As the man breathes into his saxophone, and through the walls we hear the city groan. Outside it's America. Outside it's America. We'll be right back.
Hello guys, welcome back to the Jukebox, Centennial College's all-request radio station. I am your host, Zach Murillo. Sorry about the extra long music break, guys. There was a little bit of technical difficulties here in the studio, but they are now resolved. Those songs in order were Bullet, The Blue Sky, followed by In God's Country. After that was Trip Through Your Wires, and that last song, that really long last song there was One Tree Hill, all by U2 and from the Joshua Tree album. Now, before the music break, I was giving you a brief history of U2 and their album, The Joshua Tree. So, just to recap, The Joshua Tree became, at the time, the fastest-selling album in British history, selling over 300,000 copies in just 2 days. On March 21st, 1987, it debuted on the UK album charts at number one, spending 2 weeks at the top position, and it remained on the chart for over 160 weeks. Now, on the US Billboard's Top Pop Albums chart, the album debuted on April 4th, 1987, at number seven, the highest debut for a studio album in the US in almost 7 years. Within 3 weeks, it topped the chart, where it remained for 9 consecutive weeks at number one. The album spent a total of 100 weeks on the Billboard Top Pop Albums, 35 of them in the top 10. On May 13th, 1987, the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, certified the album triple platinum. All the group's previous albums re-entered the Billboard Top Pop Albums chart in 1987 due to the release of The Joshua Tree. In Canada, the album debuted at number 51 on the RPM Top 100 Albums chart on March 21, 1987, and climbed to number one just 2 weeks later. Within 14 days of a release, it sold 300,000 units in Canada and was certified triple platinum as well. The Joshua Tree topped the album's charts in 19 other countries, including Austria, Switzerland, New Zealand, and Sweden. Rolling Stone magazine declared that the album increased the band's stature from heroes to superstars. That's a quote right there. It was the first album by any artist to sell 1 million copies on CD in the United States. U2 became the fourth rock band to be featured on the cover of Time, following The Beatles, The Band, and The Who declared the U2 was rock's hottest ticket. With or Without You, one of their singles on The Joshua Tree, was released as the lead single on March 21st, 1987, with the B-sides Luminous Times, Hold On to the Love, and Walk to the Water. The single quickly topped the Billboard Hot 100, becoming the band's first number one hit in America. The song topped the singles chart in Canada, while reaching number four in the UK and number two in the Netherlands. The group originally planned to use Red Hill Mining Town as a second single. However, the group was unhappy with the music video filmed by Neil Jordan, and Bono and Mullen had difficulty performing the song during rehearsals. Ultimately, the group canceled the single. Instead, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For was chosen as a second single, and it was released on May 1987 with the tracks Spanish Eyes and Deep in the Heart as B-sides. Like its predecessor, it topped the top 100, giving U2 consecutive number one singles in the US. The single peaked at number six in the UK, Canada, and the Netherlands. By May, sales of the album surpassed 7 copies worldwide. Where the Streets Have No Names was released in August 1987 as the third single, with Sweetest Thing, Silver and Gold, and Race Against Time as B-sides. The single released number one in the Netherlands, number four in the UK singles charts, and number 13 in the US. The album's first three singles all topped the Irish singles charts, while charting with the top 20 in the singles charts in America and in November 1987, peaking the number 44 on the Hot 100. One Tree Hill was released as a fourth single in Australia and New Zealand in March 1988, and having been written for New Zealand native Carol, it reached number one in its home country. By the end of 1988, The Joshua Tree had sold more than 14 million copies worldwide. Wow. An amazing record for you two guys. So I think I'm going to give you another music break, a short one this time. Next up on the docket is Exit by U2, following U2's rendition of Helter Skelter by the Beatles. Enjoy, guys.
Ain't no dancer. bitch ain't no dancer.
Okay, guys, that was Exit, followed by Helter Skelter by U2. Now, I'm going to talk to you a bit about the actual tour of the Joshua Tree. Following the release of the Joshua Tree, U2 staged the worldwide Joshua Tree tour. It began in April 1987 and comprising of 109 shows over three legs, and it continued through to December. The first and third legs visited the US, while the second leg toured Europe. Before the Joshua Tree, the band had been proportionately more successful as a live act than as a record-selling act, as found by their recording label, as well as many fans. The album brought them to a new level of mega-stardom, and the tour sold out arenas and stadiums around the world, the first time they had consistently visited venues of that size, while playing to over 3 million people. Songs from the album became staples of the tour set lists, as the group regularly performed 8 of the record's 11 tracks, and the only song not to be played was Red Hill Mining Town. As said before, this was the band's least favorite of the songs, as well as one song that many members of the band could not play in rehearsal, so they decided not to do it during the shows. Like their previous tours, the Joshua Tree tour was a minimalistic, austere production that was highlighted by U2's earnestness, and they used this outlet for addressing political and social concerns. One such issue was Arizona Governor Evan McCam's canceling the state's observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Throughout the tour, the band continued to explore American roots music. They collaborated with folk artist Bob Dylan, blues musician B.B. King, and Harlem's Nooses Freedom Gospel Choir. The band also visited Graceland and Sun Studios in Memphis, where they recorded new material. These songs and the group's experiences on the tour were documented for the 1988 Rattle and Hum album and Phil Jouneau-directed motion picture. The tour grossed $40 million, but despite its commercial success and positive reviews, U2 were dissatisfied creatively, and Bono believed that they're musically unprepared for their success. Mullen said, "We were the biggest, but we weren't the best." And for Bono, the tour was one of the worst times of their musical life. On the road, the group dealt with death threats, along with injuries that Bono sustained from performing. The band hinted that the stresses of touring led them to enjoy the rock and roll lifestyle they previously avoided. The Joshua Tree was the band's best-selling album, people, with 25 million copies sold worldwide. It is among the best-selling albums in the world. It ranks as one of the best-selling albums in the U.S. In 1995, the RIAA certified it 10-time platinum for shipping 10 million units, and the album subsequently received the Diamond Award for reaching this level. Similarly, the Canadian Recording Industry Association certified the album Diamond in Canada. In the UK, it is certified 6-time platinum, with an additional silver certification for the 20th anniversary edition. In the Pacific, it is certified 5-time platinum and 14-time platinum in Australia and New Zealand, respectively. The Joshua Tree is often cited as one of the greatest albums in rock history. In 1989, 2 years after its release, it was rated number 3 on Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest albums of the 80s. The Guardian collected worldwide data in 1997 from a range of renowned critics, artists, and radio DJs who placed the record at number 57 in the list of 100 best albums ever. In 2001, music television channel VH1 placed it at number 15 of their 100 Greatest Albums of Rock and Roll, countdown from their series The Greatest. The same year, the network's viewers voted The Joshua Tree the greatest album ever made. In 2003, Rolling Stones ranked the album at number 26 on their list of top 500 greatest albums of all time. It was U2's best position on the list. The definitive 200 list, compiled by the National Association of Recording Merchandisers and sponsored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, ranked the album as the 5th greatest album in history. Now, I'm telling you, if you have not heard this album before today, you should. It is an amazing album, guys. I will continue with some more history after this next break. The next two songs I'm going to play for you are Mothers of the Disappeared from the Joshua Tree album, followed by Sunday, Bloody Sunday. I'll save the last two songs for later. Okay, so here you go. Mothers of the Disappeared and Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Enjoy. Okay, guys, those songs were Mothers of the Disappeared, followed by Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. And those songs go out to Diana and Leo, who on the weekend told me that my song choice lately has gotten a bit too new for their liking. Many of you out there may be listening and be like, what are they talking about? The songs I've been playing lately are awesome. They're club hits. Well, not everybody has the same opinion on music, apparently. So these songs go out to you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This next song, well, this whole episode has been a tribute to the Joshua Tree album by U2. no matter how many songs have from this album have been number one or how many times this album's been number one, this next song, by far, if you ask anybody out there, will be one of their favorites. Has been on the top charts for many, many years. It may not be anymore, but anybody who listens to this will recognize it. It is the most famous song by U2. It is Vertigo. Hope you guys enjoy. Okay, guys, unfortunately, it is the end of our show this week. That last song was Vertigo by U2. Hope you guys enjoyed our U2 dedicated episode for the anniversary of the release of one of their biggest hits albums, The Joshua Tree. I leave you now with one of my first requests in months by Andrea, who has requested I play a compilation song of U2 and Green Day called The Saints Are Coming. I am Zach Murillo, the host of The Jukebox. Hope you guys enjoyed this week's show, and I will see you next week. You can request your songs for next week's show on The Jukebox website on Facebook. Hope you guys enjoyed. Have a good night. This is The Saints Are Coming.
Call the rising sun. It's been
until the clouds unroll and you come down the line with the shadow still remains since your descent, your descent. I climb to the